Okay, so tips for financial conversations. Number one, agree to disagree. Number two, focus on the other person's strengths. Number three, do not just talk numbers, talk values. Number four, do not lie. And number five, the most important, keep your emotions in check.
Hi, welcome.
How are you doing?
So great. Thank Come you for coming down. Oh, I mean, I live here, but thank you for asking. You fuck. Hey, I have a question for you.
Yes.
So if you had the option to have a little bit of poop come out of a butthole mouth.
I'm sorry. What is he? Butthole mouth.
Well, I'm going to rephrase this question. So. I have a question for you.
So I did not have enough wine for this. I'm sorry. I thought this was going to go a different direction. Continue.
Okay. If you could have a butthole mouth or a beautiful mouth with a little bit of poop that comes out of it every now and then, which would you choose?
Probably a butthole mouth.
I really like that you really made the butthole mouth notion. I'm sweating.
Wrinkles.
I know, it's beautiful. Well, to open that on a beautiful note.
Wow.
Hey, cheers.
Okay. Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you for driving down. But so we just talked about this, but I realized that I reference you and your story with you and Corey so often on this podcast. I know that every single morning we always talk about like the most random, like either like dating shit, dating apps, meeting dudes, like you and your relationship, like me and my shit show, and I feel like you're just like my confidant when it comes to all bad decisions, especially in 2020. You've heard everything that I feel like I've decided to, you know, endure.
This is very true. I think our morning house parties have been just full of nonstop stories of all of that.
Oh yeah, it's all shenanigans. I feel like you know my deepest, darkest secrets, and where I think this podcast kind of came in is through all of those stories that I decided
totally
to tell
did.
You. Oh yeah. But anyways, I know some of the things that we like always kind of talk about. Well, there's two. A lot of them kind of have to do with communication and like really talking to your partner about things that matter to us. And a lot of it has to do with finance. And the reason why I thought that this was the perfect opportunity to have you in was because, so you and Corey, I remember you telling me the first time that you guys had actually like had your date or first like real kind of like intimate conversation was about finance. And it was like, I think it was like your first date or the first time you guys got really intimate, you were like, oh, like what's your like Roth savings or some shit like that. And I was like, really? Like on your first date, like that's what you're talking about?
So. Yep, that is very true. Date number one, we had that conversation laying there. We were just like, I don't even know how it happened. It did. And I was like, wow, like I would never have imagined that to happen on a first date, especially because it's such a subject that's so touchy and like people can clam up and freak out over it. And I think I brought it up. I was just like, yeah, like we were talking about our houses because we each own property, which kind of opens a door, I think, to talk about it that soon. That's really the only reason. But yeah, it was wild. We were just laying there and I was like, wow, how did this just happen? And then we went on an hour tangent about finances and I was like, all right, well, this is the one.
I fucking love that. And it's just kind of crazy because I felt like in so many of my relationships, I've had such a hard time like either asking somebody's salary and not like direct, but just kind of saying like, you know, like, are you kind of pushing the boundary? Are you looking to be more successful? Like, do you have like investments? Like, are you saving? Like, are you in debt? Right. And I think that having those conversations can one either like open the door in a lot of ways, or it can also be like a closed opportunity because somebody is so scared to say like, look, like I'm 15 grand in debt for X, Y, and Z reason, and they don't want you to know that, right? And so then that's like all these like little white lies that like come into play, right?
Oh,
and all
yeah.
these issues that kind of start to arise, and these like little red flags, because then you start thinking like, well, like what is this person really saving their money on? Or like what do they find like is important for their future, right? So I guess like to bring it back a little bit, like, I would love to kind of, for you to kind of give, like, an overarching story, actually, about how you and Corey met, and then I want to, like, bring it back to finances, because I reference your story a lot on this podcast, so I would, like, love for you to talk about it.
I'll be, like, listening, I'm like, I think she's talking about me, and they're, like, and they're the cutest couple, I'm like, that's me.
That's, yeah.
yeah, so it was, like, a year and a half before we had actually started talking. I was at the ranch with one of our best friends, and she was like, I think it was right after I'd just gotten out of a relationship, and she was like, oh, I know that guy, because I kept staring over, and I was like, oh, he's so cute, like, I want to go say hi, and she's like, oh, I know him, like, I'll slide in the DMs and let him know that you think he's cute, or just, like, go talk to him, and I was like, no, I can't, and I think I went back and forth for, like, 25 minutes, just like, I'm gonna do it, no I'm not, yes, no, yes, and I was like, I need a shot, and then finally I was like, no, you are not in the place to be dating right now, like, you just got out of a 7-year relationship, like, you need to, and, like, not even that, like, I don't even think it was, like, a dating thing, it was just, like, that confidence of going up to someone. Mm-hmm. I was still, like, so closed off, and I was just, like, emotional still from everything, so I ended up not doing anything that night. And then fast forward, like, a year and a half later, I'm on Hinge, and, you know, I start this conversation with this guy, and, like, the conversation's flowing, and, like, he's super great, like, we start texting, and I don't even know how it really happened, but one thing led to another, and my best friend at the time, who tried to set me up with him that night a year and a half ago, texted me and was like, hey, you know him, like, you know, you already said his name, right?
Do I say his name?
I'm like,
I mean, you guys are, like, in a happy relationship.
I don't know, do I say your name, sorry babe,
we're not gonna throw him under the bus.
No. we love you, Corey.
Yes, we do. But yeah, she was like, oh, you know Corey, and I said, who, like, what, how do you know Corey? And so we just put this connection together, and she's like, that's the guy I was gonna set you up with a year ago. And I was like, wait, what? And one thing led to another. We started talking even more. I think that kind of, like, opened a door for me as far as, like, being comfortable after, like, talking to someone on Hinge. Just because I always had, like, this wall up, you know, I was like, I don't know this person. I've never met them. But I was like, oh, we have a connection. Like, this is great. And so then we went on a date, and our first date, like, is in quarantine, so I went over to his house, and we had Domino's pizza with his brother, and it was the three of us.
This wasn't the day that he burnt, like, asparagus or fries or something.
Oh no, he burnt bacon. That was day two.
Corey,
the
we just
best like... day. That was literally the best date ever. We'll come back to that at a later time. But he burned bacon. Yes. But yeah, no, we had our first date, and, like, we just, like, talked about everything, and it was crazy because I feel like that's such a hard thing to find, is someone that's just so open. And it's not like the traditional, like, what do you do for a living? Okay, like, you know, mm-hmm. It was like, we asked, like, deep questions. And, like, I mean, we're laying there, and all of a sudden we're talking about finances and, like, what we want to do with our money and, like, our future. And I was like, what the heck just happened? So that is that story. And now we have been together for, like, I think it's been, like, 9 months now.
Yeah.
So...
And it's, like, just super admirable. I feel like I always look up to you in the sense of, like, how do you communicate with people about, like, I'm not saying the deep shit, like, all your traumatic shit, which I feel like I'm really good at. I'm really great at, like, pulling out people's, like, traumas and what they really, like, want in life and deep things like that. But you are so great at having real conversations in the sense of, like, you know, we're in this partnership together. So, like, how do we allocate, like, our funds towards X, Y, and Z? Like, how do we invest in stocks? Like, are we going to get property together? Like, it's all the shit that really matters that I feel like we really never got taught. And I'm saying there's, like, always a place for both, but I feel like you are just probably the only person I know that, like, off the bat has always been, like, so successful in that sense. Right. And, like, and you obviously, like, work in law. So I feel like it's very, like, top of mind to have those kind of, like, realistic expectations from people.
Yeah.
But again, right. It's like, people are so afraid to have those conversations. So, like, my question to you is, right, so somebody's getting into a relationship, and either they're just getting into a relationship, or this is something that they've, like, been pursuing for a long time, right? Like, when is it appropriate for them to really kind of bring up that conversation, and how do they, like, really get into kind of like the financial topics of things without them feeling like they're like undermining somebody, like how much they're making or what they're doing.
I think there's like, me personally, like, I don't think there's ever been a time where I'm just like, oh, like, I'm going to start talking about it at like 4 weeks or like, you know, there's no right or wrong time, but I think there's definitely like situations where you're like, okay, we should probably have this talk now. Like, especially if you're like about to move in together. Like, I think moving in together is, if you haven't talked about finances yet, that is the time to start. But the earlier, it's honestly like drying cement. The earlier you talk about it, the better, because you don't want to like do it 2 years into your relationship and start being like, so what do you do with your money? You know? And like all of a sudden you're surprised, or like you find out they're in like $100,000 of debt and you're like, whoa, I should have known this a little sooner.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it's just the same type of conversations you want to have at the beginning of a relationship, but there's just, you'll find that comfortable door. I think everyone's so different. And I think people who do have debt, and honestly, the word debt for some reason just has this like negative connotation, and people freak out. They're like, oh no, I have debt. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, I do.
I'm scared.
I don't have debt. And so I think my greatest fear is being with somebody that does have debt, which has happened in the past, right? And while I'm understanding of the fact that like this could have been either one, an unfortunate situation that somebody was in, or two, somebody's carrying on debt from somebody else that they were with, or three, maybe they've got school loans and things like that. But like, right, at any point, like, how do you make somebody feel comfortable about that, right? Like, again, because I've never felt like I had to deal with it, or I just never knew how to talk about it.
Yeah, I think that's like, I mean, that's definitely an important subject to talk about before you get super serious. It's like, you know, talking about what you want in a relationship, like, start off with that. And you got to keep it light, I think, to start off the conversation. Just like, so, you know, like, I went to school for this, and I, just so you know, like, I didn't have anyone to help me out with it. Like, I'm on my own. So I do have school debt, you know, just like start off light. But I think the important thing that like kind of changes it is people can have debt, and there's good debt and there's bad debt. Like, I am hundreds and hundreds of thousand dollars in debt, but that's because I own a home.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't have credit card debt. Like, I think I have like $200 in credit card debt.
Yeah.
And that gets paid off every month.
Bitch, but it's how like, dare you?
I'm so sorry, you guys. Drinks wine.
Drinks wine.
Sips wine. Invests.
What's up, GameStop?
Oh, don't even get me started on that. Oh, man. But there's good debt and there's bad debt. Bad debt, like, obviously, if someone's like, so I have $100,000 in debt because I bought too many clothes and I don't know how to, like, I just can't stop, you know? That's more of like a negative connotation for it. So that's a little bit harder to get through. But I mean, if you're open and upfront with things like that, I think it's super important and it's admirable, because it is such an uncomfortable situation to be in. But I think what changes it is like, if someone were to come up and be like, hey, like, I know we're just dating, I have $50,000 of debt, but I have a plan. Like, I am making these payments every month. Like, I plan to be, you know, my goal is in 2 years to have it like down to this amount. If there's a plan behind it and there's motivation and there's drive, I think that's like a whole game changing situation, you know? Like, then it's like, okay, cool. Like, good for you. Like, let's keep that going. And you'd always talk about it. You're like, how's that going? Like, did you make, like, not like you're going to be like, did you make your payment? Did you make your payment?
Yeah.
But I think it's important to like constantly be like, how's it going? Like, you know, talk about different ways to do it, or like putting more money down some months. Yeah. So I think that's super important, is just seeing like drive in someone and that they have a plan for it. Like, you can have debt, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's, people are just like, it's such an emotional subject. People are like, oh shoot, I have debt. Like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
It's okay. You're fine.
Take a breather.
Drink some wine. Speaking of which.
I know. Take a sippy sip, baby girl. Take a sippy sip. I guess like on that note, right? Like, I have encountered a few people, obviously, that were like paying off debt, and they were like consistent on those payments. But I think where I lacked was saying, how much are you in debt, right? Yeah. Or like putting like a monetary value on it, because it's one thing paying off maybe like $10,000 in debt because for X, Y, and Z, right? But another thing, like you said, like $100,000 in debt, because that's a lifetime, and then you start taking that on with somebody, the further that you get, and that starts affecting, are they going to be able to make their car payments? Are they going to be able to make the rent if you guys move in together, X, Y, and Z? So do you feel like it's ever appropriate to ask numbers?
Yes.
And is there, so like what is a, like genuinely asking, like what is like the best way to do so?
I think, okay, because it's like if someone asks me like, what do you make? Like, okay, for example, Corey asked me like a couple weeks into dating, like, how much money do you make at work? And I was like,
did you just ask that?
Yeah.
Like what?
It seems so taboo,
like, it's
right?
It's so weird. Like it is so taboo. And like, I think because I've been in, you know, like other relationships where I'm like, we didn't even talk about money. Mm-hmm. Never.
And like, I never really tell, especially I think females have also just kind of taken on this thing where we don't talk about what we make. Yeah. And I think it's especially in the workplace. So when someone asks you, you're almost like, what? Do I tell them? Do I make up a number? What happens here? If I make up a number, like, what if they find, you know? Yeah. So like all these thoughts go through your head. You're like, am I making enough? Like, what if they make like five times more than me? And so I was just so thrown off by that. But then I realized, I'm like, it's a number. Like, this is my job. And it's important that we both know what we make so we can start thinking about our future. Mm-hmm. And I think those small little questions were like opening so many doors for us. And I was just like, honestly, I still haven't even asked him it back. I was so thrown off by the question that I was like, what?
Chelsea.
I know. But I could still give advice to that. But I think it's important that you're just like, I think the other person is almost better off that you ask than them being like, I have $100,000 in debt.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, if they're like, I have debt, and you're like, okay, like, can we put a number to that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what are we dealing, like, what do you, and I always like the we word, like, what are we dealing with? Like, not what are you in? Like, because I think no matter where you're at in a relationship, we changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because then you're on their team, and then they feel more comfortable to open up to you, you know?
And I think language is just so important. I think, and I take this back to even, like, arguments or discussions, right? Instead of saying, like, you, like, really reframing the phrases to I.
Mm-hmm.
I, like, feel uncomfortable versus saying, like, you made me feel uncomfortable. Because I think that changes from it being, like, an attack to something that you're kind of, like, dealing with and you need assistance in that sense. So I really like that you said the we part, because I think that that's such a powerful phrase. And it's so simple, such a slight change. And I think that anybody can kind of make that, like, connection in their every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I fucking love that. I think, like, I get concerned too, is right, like, what if you're dealing with somebody with debt and you are, say, at the 2-year mark, and maybe they have brought it up in the past, but you've never asked, like, do you feel like that it would ever get to an uncomfortable state? Like, the longer you get down the line, if you haven't really, like, brought up the question or put numbers to it, do you feel like the other party might say, oh, did you see something, or did you do, like, more stalking or something? Can it be more of a negative connotation?
Yes.
I think the later
I think it's the same thing in, like, arguments. Like, if you're holding on to, like, if something's bothering you in a relationship early on and you don't say anything, and then all of a sudden a year and a half later, you're like, this is bothering me. And you're like, I've been doing this for 2 years. Why is it bothering you today? And you're like, shoot, I never talked about it, you know? So I think it's the same kind of situation where you're like, the earlier on that you build that cement in your foundation, the better. Because then it's like, everything's up front. You're honest with everything. Like, there's no questioning. And some people are, I think that's why it's so important when you do talk about it earlier, because the response from someone who is in debt can change it. If you see them, like, clamming up and they're like, oh my God, like, I can't talk about this, or like they start like lying and you could tell that they're lying, or you just feel this like weird thing going on, that earlier on is better, because 2 years in the road and you're like, okay, well, how much debt do you have? Like, I want to start thinking about like finances together or whatever that conversation is. And they're like, oh, well, why are you asking me this? Like, you didn't ask this before, you know? So I think it's just like super weird to ask it later on. I don't know.
I mean, I kind of agree with you. I was just kind of wondering for anybody that maybe hasn't had that conversation, like, what their kind of, like, go-to is. But I think it can be so subjective, right, in kind of, like, their situational battle. But they can start at that point, I guess, right, if they are in that 2-year relationship and they've never brought it up. I think, like, again, start it now. Like, well, don't wait the next 2 years.
Yeah, and, like,
So in my past relationship with my ex, it was a 7-year relationship. We didn't talk about money until like, I think it was like year 4. He got money from a passed away parent. Mm-hmm. And I remember one day I just like asked, I was like, okay, like how are, like, what are you thinking of doing with that? Like, do you want to invest it? And it was such an uncomfortable conversation. Like I was shut out and it was just like, why are you asking this now? We've never talked about finances together. So it was very weird. And I think it just like made me uncomfortable about the whole conversation of it. Yeah. I was like, maybe we're not supposed to talk about this. Like maybe this isn't something that we do. But I think if you do bring it up later on in the relationships, it's more of like, hey, I know we haven't ever talked about this, but I think we should start because, you know, things are progressing forward and now's the time to start, you know, discussing these things because I don't want any surprises later on. Like, you know, and I think that kind of opens the window. It's keeping it light and like just having a little flow like that, I think would be awesome, you know?
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I think like one of those things that you brought up earlier too was setting money goals. I know that that was like a certain discussion that, or like that was like something you mentioned in the midst of talking about, kind of talking about those like financial barriers. Do you and Corey like have money goals together or have you like in the past? And then how do you recommend that people like go about that, right? Like in the sense of like, hey, maybe we're going to get property together, or hey, like we have like a joint bank account, or like, hey, we're going to allocate, you know, in that bank account, like X amount of money for like dates or whatever, like moving forward, right? Because you've had that 7-year relationship and then you also have this like serious relationship where you are able to talk about those like important topics. Like, what's your take there?
Yeah, I think like, so I'm like, more
I got
mind,
you.
Please, like, thank you.
Oh, I got you, baby. Porn.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So I think just, okay, I did some research and people say that you should talk about money as often as you talk about your day. Like, you know, it's just throw it in the conversation. Like, it should be a frequent conversation. Like, it's not, because the longer you go in between, the more surprises there are. And that's like more of a marriage type of thing. Mm-hmm. I think early on, it's more of like, so for New Year's, like we sat down and we're like, okay, what do you want to do this year with your money? Like, you need to tell your money where to go. And I love that we both have these conversations and we're like, I'm telling my money to go here, here, and here. Like this year, we're going to max out the Roth. We're going to do this. Like, we're going to invest more. And so we started making like these goals together, like not together, but like together separately. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, like we each like laid out our goals, but we talked about them. We're like, what are you doing? Okay, this is what I'm doing. And then we check in with each other and we're like, how are you doing with this? Like, did you do any money for this? Like, I'm trying to pay off my car as quickly as possible. And so like he'll check in and he's like, hey, how'd you do this month? And I'm like, oh, I doubled my payment. He's like, hell yeah. You know?
I love that.
So it's, yeah.
Do you guys use like certain apps or like journals or anything like physical or like anything tangible people can take away? Or do you usually just say like, hey, I know like my partner's goals. I'm just like from memory kind of checking in.
I think for us, we're both like memory. Like we really listen and we're like, okay, these, mm-hmm. and we just not like we have a list of like 20 goals. It's a couple of like main items, but there are sheets. Like when I first learned how to like budget my money, I hate the B word, by the way, budget, just the word makes me cringe. Don't like it.
Well, it makes you feel like you're almost living paycheck to paycheck.
Yes. And that's what I think is so bad, because so many people are like, oh, she's on a budget. And I'm like, no, I'm just telling my money where to go.
Which I love that phrase. So we're going to say that again. Tell your money where to go.
Tell it where to go, baby.
Tell it where to go. Just say it again. We're just going to keep saying it so that you can like write it down. You can memorize it. Put it on your fucking mirror. Get a sticky note. Write it. Tattoo it on your forehead, baby. Snap. Snaps your money. All right, lay it on us.
Yes, you tell your money where to go. Where was I going with that? Now I need to tell myself.
Budgeting.
Yes, budgeting. God, I hate it.
We got this.
But, yeah, no, we always talk about those goals. So when I first learned how to budget, I actually showed Corey this page too, but it was a Dave Ramsey course I took like a long time ago. And it just kind of itemizes like what you spend every month and you put in your like monthly, how much you make a month, and then you kind of lay it all out. And then you like get your own little corner of like what's left over. And you're like, oh crap, I live paycheck to paycheck. Mm-hmm. But that's how I was, you know, back then when I first started it.
But I mean, like, think about it, right? Like you and I, we both live essentially in Orange County. And yeah. In all reality, a lot of us really don't get paid enough 100%. To live here. And you own property. And so like for you, that's like, you've got a fucking mortgage payment. You got a car payment. You got a lot of shit that you already have on your plate. Mm-hmm. And think about like the salary that we're making. Trust me, babies, we ain't making 200K over here. Let me tell you. So yeah, we got to allocate money.
Yeah, 100%. And it's tough. It's like Orange County is so tough. And your money tells you where it's going at that point. Fuck because it's does. Like, well, we got mortgage, bills, electric, car. Okay, you're done.
Yeah, Wi-Fi, dude. Like I live in this like... My fucking Wi-Fi now is like $80. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Well, $75. I'm being really aggressive. But still, right? It's like, I don't have roommates, so we're not splitting it three ways. So the second mm-hmm. my roommates moved out, I'm like, shit, that's an extra $50 like that I could be putting somewhere else, right? Yeah. And then you think about little things like your gym pass that you don't think about, $100 extra dollars. You know, fortunately for you and I, we teach spin, so we get an extra like gym that's like essentially comped because we teach at the studio, right? But you think about like your $200 annual passes to like another like workout yeah. studio. Like Jesus, those are like little things that we don't even think about that's in our like monthly budget, right? Yeah. And it just lets you slip by. And
honestly, COVID, I don't know what it was. I think just slowing down in general, I started looking at my bank statements more. Mm. I had so many random memberships. I was like, what is this $8.99, $7.99? Like, mm-hmm. I bought an app like a year ago for like editing a picture and it was charging me $6.99 a month for yep. the last year. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So I started going through and I was like deleting. And I was like, I just saved $100 a month.
Well, something my parents actually really taught me, and I know this, this almost feels really trivial, but every single month, check your bank statement. Cause a mm-hmm. lot of times your card can get linked up to something super random. My parents have had this happen multiple times where they got charged like a random $100 here and there, yeah. random $10. And yeah, whatever. Sometimes we think, okay, $10, that's like lunch one day, but $10 a day, like that's thousands of dollars like at the end of the year. Like that's money that you could have allocated towards like investing or mm-hmm. your savings account or I don't know, building out your property, whatever that may be, right? Like, or your car payment.
Yeah.
Like, why are you throwing that money away? That's like money and time that your company's renting from you to work.
Yeah.
Like what, like, that $10 is important.
100%.
So.
And then sometimes, yeah, like if you don't check it, you don't even know you're paying it. And you're like, mm-hmm. oh, okay. Like you just need to pay attention to those. Because even if it's like 99 cents, you know, like,
yeah.
And you don't realize it's charging you 99 cents a month for the last 4 years, you're like,
well, a couple $100 gone.
Yeah. Like yeah. adds up real quick. So. Yeah.
But okay. So damn.
I don't back.
Dave Ramsey, the yes. sheet that you showed Corey.
So that's how I started like learning how to like put my money together every month. So we definitely have like goals that we each set for ourselves and we like check in with each other. But that's like the only sheet I've really used. Aside from that, we usually just like write them in our notes and our phone, mm. like what our goals are. I know he has like a little checklist and he goes through that and he's like, okay, I did this.
Yeah.
But yeah, we just, I think talking about it just makes it so much better. Cause you're like on a team, you know?
Yeah.
And like so many people think that like money just I don't know what it is. Money has a negative like emotion
mm-hmm.
and for so many people, and it should have a happy emotion, you know? Like I feel like so many people think of it and like, they're like, oh crap. Like, money, like I need to save, I need to, like I'm in debt, I have to pay bills, you know, like yeah. I don't know, it's just there's a different emotion tied to it, and I think it changes the game when you start thinking about money as like a great thing. You're like, oh, money, like it makes me happy, like not that like money, you know, money doesn't make you happy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it shouldn't but, be like, driving you.
Yes,
yeah,
but it's like a positive connotation with it where mm-hmm. you're just like, okay, like we both have the same goals, like we both want the same kind of future where we're like, you know, we want to retire earlier than we can, you know, than our parents or whatever, or around the same age at least. But yeah, so I think that just really helps like talking about all of those little goals early on, because then you're like, okay, like we're always checking in with each other and we're always like on the same page. So
yeah. And I like that you said the word team, because I think that it makes you realize that you're working together mm-hmm. for something with someone versus saying like, hey, I'm independently in this situation yeah. with like nobody else to help me. Cause I think about this like from my own experience, right? So like being an immigrant with us not having any financial positives for a very long time. Like, and I talk about this all the time, right? Like, my parents, like, worked at, like, department stores for a really long time, like, minimum wage. And so for us, it was my parents really teaching me the value of a dollar. And so I noticed for myself, like, I'm always in fight or flight. And I think I might have told you, or I can't remember if I told Lisa this, it might've been Lisa, but so for me, the way that I look at things is that I always, if I ever have a fear in my day-to-day, in my 9-to-5 job that I'm, God forbid, gonna get fired or something went, if something went wrong or my boss gives me some real-time feedback and I just kind of flip a switch and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get fired, or I see a random meeting on my calendar, I'm just like, shit, like, how am I gonna make rent, right? And so I start thinking, how many classics can I start picking up at the studio, right? I start using calculator. I'm like, all right, if I pick up I didn't tell you this. And I start going crazy because I'm like, all right, so if I teach 10 to 15 classes and I cover for this person and that person, if I start teaching here and here and here, I can make this amount of money. I can make this much rent. I have this much savings. I can pull out this much. All right, can I do freelance work here, here, and here? I start reaching out to people and saying, like, hey, do you know anybody that needs X, Y, and Z kind of like freelance work? And this is without anything even happening, right? But for me, I think money, negative connotation, because there's a loss here, meaning I can't afford bills here, meaning that I'm going to be homeless and or poor, right? Like, my mind goes from literally zero to a fucking 100 real quick. And I don't think that that's normal, one, right? So we have to think, so I have to reel myself in, but I know I'm not the only one
that goes into fight or flight.
Right. So I think
most people are like that.
Right. But it's like, how do you safely say, okay, I know that I have saved X, Y, and Z. I know my monthly expenses are X, Y, and Z. I know I have a partner that supports me and is also doing X, Y, and Z. Now, how do we bring that together, right, as this team, and have these open and honest communications versus feeling like you're in a lone psychopath that's going to be homeless next week?
Oh, my God.
By the way, this literally sounds like it's like high thoughts.
This is totally high thoughts.
Yeah, this is.
Hits blunt.
It's blunt. Y'all, I haven't even smoked in 10 years, but these are the thoughts that I always have.
Why are pizza boxes square and a pizza's round, you know?
I'll never know. I've really just, dude, this is like the same concept. But you're right. So that, I think that that framework of team can really kind of, and the we language, right, can really kind of like frame a lot of these conversations that we have with the people that we're with, because we realize, again, like you said, right, we're not alone. We have somebody to communicate with. We have like a singular goal that we like essentially end on. So I guess, like, with that being said, do you and Corey have like a joint account at all? You don't have to. Okay. No. Is that something that you I don't, what are your thoughts, I guess?
Well, so I think like, oh, I mean, obviously, like, dating is a different game. You talk about it, you do goals together, but then I think once you're either, like, engaged or you're, you know, married, that's when, like, joint accounts start happening, and joint accounts are important. Like, I 100%, like, believe in that. I feel like everyone has their own opinions about it, but,
what's the benefit and what's the negative, I guess?
The benefit is that there's no secrets.
Okay.
The negative is that there's no secrets.
Okay.
You can't go buy whatever you want, you know, it's all there. But at the same time, like, you're both have these established goals. You want to pay all your bills. You want to save, you want to invest. Like, if you have kids, you want to take care of them. You want to invest in their futures. So I think joint bank accounts are important for all of that. But I think, like, I don't know. I've never been in that position before where I've actually, like, we haven't even talked about this. So I'm just, like, speaking for myself here. But
that's fine.
I think, like, at the same time, like, joint accounts are super important. But I know a lot of people that have, like, a little separate, like, savings account. So, like, or not savings, but, like, their own, like, fun cash, you know? So it's, like, everything that you have to pay bills-wise goes into, or, like, pretty much everything goes into your joint account. And then you do your budget, and then your fun money goes into your separate accounts. So if you want something, you save for that. You use your fun money to go buy, you know, whatever it is you want. I think it's super important to talk about values of money early on. I think how I would explain that is, like, one person may think, like, oh, it makes me happy to buy Lululemon pants.
Okay.
And the other person's like, what the heck? Why would you ever buy that? You know, like, I don't understand that. Like, you can get the same thing for $20 here, you know, or, like, go to Goodwill. But I think it's so important to talk about like what it is that makes you happy when you do spend your money, and like what it is you value. And like when you talk about those values up front, I think later on you're like, you don't have to agree, but you have to understand. So like if someone, like if he like wants to buy tools, or like, you know, he likes vacations. Like I know he likes vacations. So like that's his thing. So we're going to save for that. And then, you know, my thing is experiences. So I want to do excursions on these vacations. I want to go skydive, you know, do whatever. So I think talking about values of what you want to spend your money on is super important too.
What about having separate accounts for all of your incomes, right? But then having a joint account that's saying, like, random example. So we're going to put $200 down every single month for our joint account. And that is going to be for the vacations that we do together, for the things that we do together, right? So then you're not necessarily, and this is not saying like we're going to stop dating. It's saying that, and this is down the line, right? But it's saying, hey, we have money together that we can essentially spend.
Is that like dating, you mean?
No, this is like, like, I mean, I guess like this can be like when people are married or like in long-term relationships. I think we have a mutual friend that her and her long-term boyfriend, that they did that, where they had like a singular like joint account where they put down X amount of money every single month. And when they did things together, they utilized that fund.
Yeah.
But it's not saying that, it's still not saying what he's spending his everyday money on. It's still not saying what she's spending their everyday money on. It's more so of like, this is just the funds together.
Yeah.
Is there, do you feel like there's like a separation there for you? Or
I don't know. I think like, I mean, for me, and this is just, again, money, everyone has their own opinions about it, but I think the more open you are with your spending and the more upfront you are, the less problems you're going to have. So if you're just like, here it is, this is what I make every month, this is our bills, like, you are a team effort. You are doing this together. So you want joint money, but you got to pay all the bills first, and then everything else, like, agree on certain things. So if you're disagreeing on like what you want to spend your money on, and you have this joint account for like doing activities, trade off. Like, 1 month, we're going to go here and go to a brewery and do this and like hang out with friends. And then the next month, like, okay, I want to go on a little staycation, or I want to go shopping, I need new jeans, you know, like, as long as you have these open discussions, I think that's totally great. Like, I think that will help in the long run. But if it's just like, hey, I'm going to hide like this money, or like take this out and not deposit this, or, you know, like, I can't see what he's spending, I don't know what she's spending, but we have this like $100 in our account, so we can go out to dinner. You know, I think it's just more important to, like, if you're married and you got to put it all on the table. Like, Corey and I have been, like, I loved that. Date one, he was like, all the cards on the table. Here they are. And I was like, back at you. Here we go.
That's so interesting.
It's so wild.
But I think, too, it's, you and Corey, I know, are not only children. And I know that this plays a big role. So for me, this gives me a lot of anxiety, because so most people tell me that they always say, Maria, you don't seem like an only child. And I think that, I don't know why that comes into play, but this is where I can see that my only child syndrome really comes into play, because I don't like
mine.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, this is my shit. This is hard earned money. And I know how to save. Out of everyone I fucking know, I know how to put my goddamn money away. All my shit's paid off. Knock on wood. No debt, right? Like, I'm in a good place. So then I think, like, yo, I'm about to link my shit together. Hell no. Like, I don't care how good somebody else is. Like, I don't need them seeing what I'm spending my money on, because I know what I'm spending my money on, and it's usually nothing crazy. Like,
like, it's food and wine.
It's literally the most wild I get is like, you know, spending, I'm trying to think, like, spending, you know, whatever, every other month, like, an extra $100 on, like, Lululemon pants. But
why do you think I said Lulu earlier?
I know, you really resonated with me. But, you know, I know you're looking at my drying rack right behind us.
There's, like, 40 pairs of Lululemon.
Okay, you know what? Like, okay.
Holy crap.
But to my defense, it's our job, right? And so
exactly.
Right, and my spin funds, those are extra. And so What I like to do is I budget off of my 9-to-5 salary. And again, what I make from like spin, and especially with how many classes I pick up. And right now I'm teaching 6 to 8 a week.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, I have a little bit of extra leverage to yes, I put a lot of money away, but also I don't have to fret in thinking. So something so dumb as like this today, I was like, oh shit, like I have to buy a pre-workout. That's $60. You know, like I'm not going to cry about that, or I'm not going to sit here being like, fuck, like I don't have the extra $60.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I want to buy a 5-pound bag of Modern Times coffee. Like, I'm not going to sit here. Which,
God, you and your coffee.
Okay, fuck off. You have literally a coffee tattoo. What are you judging me for? You fuckface.
I literally went to Mother's yesterday because I ran out of coffee. And I was just going to get like a cheap bag of coffee beans. No. And then I saw Stumptown and I was like, damn it, Maria, why did you get me hooked on this?
You're welcome. But that's the thing is like what my dad has always said. He goes, it's okay to spend a little bit extra on quality.
Values.
Yes, values. Right. And so that's what we talk about. And so I understand that there's a lot of people that don't really like kind of like see that or process that. And don't worry, I have my flaws too. Like there are times that I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to buy a couple of these like trash shirts or whatever, but then I'm not wearing them.
Yes.
And then I'm throwing them away or like donating them, and which is great. At least I'm donating, but one, I might as well just donate money somewhere that matters. And two, if I'm going to spend my money, I'd rather spend it again, instead of buying 3 stupid shirts that rip or I'm not going to wear, buy one that I'm going to wear every other day.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it's, again, I think that's just something that you talk about too. And you're like, oh, okay, like this is what I like to buy because it lasts me longer and it does, you know, X, Y, and Z, but I'll cut back in other areas. Mm-hmm. Like I'll only eat smoothies for the rest of my life.
Okay, are you making fun of the fact that I make a smoothie every morning?
Every morning, you guys. She calls me and she's all, hello, guten Morgen, please hold. Grinds her coffee beans, blends her smoothie, and I'm like, do you eat anything but a smoothie?
And egg whites?
Nope. Smoothie and egg whites. She returned our crock pot, hasn't even opened her air fryer.
You know?
This girl, she cuts back other ways.
I'm great at a lot of things, but some things, just let me live, okay?
You know, those smoothies, though, I can't blame you.
You know what?
I started doing it too.
We all have our flaws. Yeah. And you know what? That smoothie's delicious, y'all. If you really need to know, not this has anything to do with dating, but a little avocado, peanut butter, protein powder, spinach, kale, frozen fruits. Dude, game changer.
Yeah.
Dude, so smooth, so delightful.
Can't forget that collagen powder.
Dude, collagen powder. Dude, I do bone broth powder.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. 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 That's from not even an ex, some dude I dated, the health dude. Yeah, we know. We know. Okay, back to finance. So actually, I'm kind of curious. So, you know, when you're talking about finances and when you've kind of like brought that topic up, have you ever encountered somebody that has physically lied to you about their finances, what they were doing with their money, and how did you like find out and then, I guess, twist the topic around to open the discussion?
Yes, I have had someone lie to me. My ex lied to me. And it wasn't like a direct lie. Mm-hmm. I can't say it was a lie, but it was just always like secrets. And I think that like built up some resentment.
Yeah.
And it's not that I was even ready to like talk about it, I think. I don't think I talked about money until my current relationship. But I tried. And
which is interesting because you always like talk about money. Like,
yes.
You always have like your goals, like your assets. Like, you've literally had like stocks since you were a kid. Like, you've just had this expansive like mindset on it. So I'm shocked that it hasn't been discussed until now.
Yeah. And I think my prior relationship was just like, every time it was brought up, like, I'd be like, oh, okay. Like, oh, what'd you like? Okay. For example, like, you buy a new tool and I'm like, okay, what, you know, how much did that cost you? And not like in an, like, I would try to not say it in like a nagging way, because I know there's like ways you could say it where you're like, oh, you bought that, like, why? Yeah. You know, but I tried not to do that, and I was just like, oh, okay, like, oh yeah, like, that's awesome, how much was that? And I think it started to like get to a point where it was, so for, let me go back a little bit.
Go ahead.
Didn't have a job.
Okay.
During this time.
This is your ex, not
my
you.
My ex did not have a job. Sorry, yes, my ex did not have a job. That was probably about a year. And I know he was going through a lot, so I can't say anything bad about it. But he was going through a lot, didn't have a job. I kind of took the financial pants on.
So proud of you. Thank you. What were you doing at this time? work? You don't have to say your job, but like.
No, I was working at my last job. So I was making good money. I was in a mediation firm. So mediation and arbitration, basic job, but I was making good money. And we were also living with roommates at the time. So it was not a lot for rent. Okay. This was still like probably three, four years ago. Okay. I want to say 4 years ago because I've had my house 3 years. Yeah. It's about 4 years ago. But yeah, so it was, you know, I was kind of paying more of the bills. He still paid for bills, but it was just a little less. And it was using money from his trust.
Yeah.
And so that, I think, was what threw me off is there was just never drive. Like, it was like all of a sudden he got this money and he's like, cool, quit my job. Like, buy whatever I want.
So he never got, like, let go. He was just like, well, got the money. See you never.
Quit his job. I know it was going through a lot, too, at that time, like, depression-wise and all that. So, you know, there was that, too. But there was just, it was just so strange. It was like, quit my job, started spending money on random things, would lie about it and be like, no, like, I didn't buy that. Like, I got it for free, or like I got it for like $15. And I'm like, I saw the Home Depot receipt on the counter and it said like $290 for a tool.
That you probably don't need.
You don't need it. We don't even have a garage. Where are you going to put that? We have a one bedroom apartment. Like, come on.
He bought like a chainsaw for nothing. Yeah.
God, I'm like, am I going to get murdered?
You do love your murder mysteries. It's fine.
I do. I'm sorry. Yeah. But yeah, so I think the conversation kind of started of me asking like, oh, like, what are you doing with this money you received? Do you see yourself getting a job? Like, do you want to save that money? Do you want to invest in more property? Like, I was planning on buying a house. I didn't have a home at that time. And I was like, okay, like, I'm saving for a house. Like, are you, like, what do you want to do with your money? Like, you just got this large sum of money. Mm-hmm. And instead of working and continuing on and putting that in investments, you quit your job. You start spending like crazy. And I was just like, what? That doesn't make any sense to me. And it was such a taboo subject. Like, every time I'd bring it up, it was like, why are you asking me that? And I'm like, oh. So then I felt like crazy for even asking. I'm like, do people not talk about this?
Yeah.
But fun fact, number one cause of divorce, money.
Mm-hmm.
I know you and Jen talked about this, and I will preach that. Like,
yeah.
And I think that's why I have such a positive thing with money, because my parents growing up too, like, I don't know if it's just not like they hit it well or whatever, but they didn't really like stress about money. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, some families like they'll talk about it. They stress about it. And like, then people start stressing about money. Like, that's just how you were raised. And I think it's like the thing where my parents like always said, save your money. Like, give me your paycheck, save it. You'll need it later. You don't need it now. You're a kid. Mm-hmm. Or like, oh, this is what a stock is. Like, I think I was like 10 or 11 when my dad first told me what a stock was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think just learning those things early on made it more of like a positive like reinforcement for me. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like, I save my money. I have money later.
Yeah.
You know? So I just think, and I know in my past too, like, he wasn't raised like that either. So he was more of like, oh, I got money. Like, why do I need to save it? Like, why do I need, you know? So it was, I know his like family just spent a lot and didn't think twice. So yeah, I don't know. I think it was just the wrong, like, those conversations are important, because then you realize like what you're dealing with, and you're like,
yeah,
you know, 5 years down the road when we're married and I ask you like, where's our money going?
Do you think that it's just as important to have those conversations? And this is going to be a selfish question. If for me, right, like, I think I eventually want to get married, but I don't want to have like kids or family. So do you still think that those conversations are just as important?
Yeah. 100%. Because even if like you're, I think all of those, I think money and conversations are just as important as, oh my God, can't even talk now. Just as important as talking about like, if you want kids, if you want to get married, if you want a house, if you want to rent, you know, all of those are super important.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, I think the reason for that is because so many people jump in and like, okay, say you do get married, but you don't have kids. You're just kind of each have your own finances, But then later on, you start to struggle, or like one person gets laid off and you've never had a talk about money. And you're like, oh shit, like, what do we do?
Yeah.
Like, this is a whole new subject, you know? And I'm not saying that you're not going to survive, but it's so much easier when you've already talked about it and you're like, okay, this is X, Y, and Z. And I don't know. I just think it's so much easier earlier.
No, that makes sense. I don't think about that, like, honestly, because I'm so used to, like, I'm not saying, like, being alone, but I think...
Selfish kid.
Well, it's not like that. Mind, no. But it goes back to saying that, like, I never had these important conversations with my ex, like, at all. Like, we never talked, like, I think after 4 years, I literally broke, and it was, like, a month or two before we broke up, and I was like, do you want to get married? Do you want to get moved? Yeah. Like, do you want to move in? And it was, like, this, all this pent-up emotion, and I think that that was, like, my wrongdoing, and, like... And while, yeah, he had his own play in it because he never also talked about it. But, like, if it was so important to me, like, I needed to bring it up earlier and say, like owning property together is important. Moving in together is important. Like, getting engaged is important to me. Like, we need to talk about it, right? Again, versus saying...
Surprise. 4 years later, like, you know, like...
Breaking down, right? Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine how many people, like you said, right? It's the number one, like, cause of divorce. And I know Jen talked about this in episode one, but, like... This is, I think, what a lot of people really struggle with because it is taboo. It is, like, one of these topics that we just don't know how to, like, navigate. But I think that you brought in, like, so many, like, good points that are, like, positive for people to look at, right? So, like, kind of to review, it's utilizing the we and team topics, like, really just being open on front right away. And then really just essentially setting goals, like, together. And then really checking in, like, as a team.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you guys both want what's best for each other and what's best together. So the more you guys are like a team and you're checking in together and you're pushing each other and challenging these goals, like the better you're off, like better off you're going to be, you know?
Yeah. No, I like absolutely agree. Do you have any, so I do want to pivot the conversation into like communication.
Oh, geez.
which this still like falls in the same play, yes. But I kind of wanted, when it comes to finances, are there any like closing thoughts that you have like for anybody that you can think of, or do you feel like you kind of covered it all?
I think we kind of covered it all. I think sometimes you just have to agree to disagree. You just got to listen. And I mean, at the end of the day, you want to talk about everything, you know, like the more open you are with things, the better, but don't just talk numbers, talk values. And I think from there, you're pretty much good, you know? But number one cause of divorce, money.
Amen.
So,
hey, fucking
start man. Those combos, baby.
Dude, I'm for
slide
it.
Slide in those DMs, you know? I'll help you out there.
Jesus Christ.
Like, coming from the girl who still hasn't asked a question back, how much do you make?
I was going to pin this on the whole DM thing because I will never forget what I was... I was teaching class
one
day.
What is a DM?
Yeah, I was teaching class one day and I played Down in the DM by Yo Gotti. And Chelsea, I get a literal text. Actually, I think it was a DM from Chelsea.
We were at brunch.
And Chelsea looks at me dead in the fucking goddamn face and goes, Maria, what is a DM? I about lost my goddamn marbles. And I said,
it goes down in there and I want to know what it is.
Chelsea's like, I don't know, something's going down. I need to be part of the party. Like, what is the DM? I fucking lost it. That was the most mom thing you could have possibly done.
I didn't have an Instagram at the time, so I didn't know.
You deleted your Instagram.
I deleted
Instagram,
it for past relationship.
God, no. Bless your sweet soul. No wonder it didn't work out. All right.
Anyways, moving on.
So let's pivot. So
communication.
Communication. Okay.
Real.
It is. So we... You and I always talk about communicating with our partners. Yes. And I know that I have gotten numerous house parties and FaceTimes and phone calls from you in random parts of your relationship where you're like, this happened and like, I don't know how to talk to him about it. Or I left his house for X, Y, and Z reason and this happened and I feel like he didn't even know I was upset about it, right? And I'm not going to throw anything under the bus, but I'm just giving overarching situations where I think a lot of people deal with scenarios that they're really upset about. They don't know how to bring up to their partner. There's a lot of communication differences in their relationships. And again, there's not enough education and training in how to navigate the waters. So my question to you is, after like all the times we've kind of like like talked and tried to decipher like all the issues that have gone on in any of your past relationships, I kind of want to know, like, how have you now learned is the best way to navigate like difficult conversations and topics in your relationship?
Call Maria.
I am deceased.
That is literally how I've learned is go home, you call Maria. She will tell you how to do it.
Okay, well, y'all, this backfired on me.
So why don't you tell me? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, you know what's funny is like people come into your lives at the most opportune moments. Like, mm-hmm. I did not know what I needed until I met you. And I'm like, you are like the friend that just like, I know, like, it's wild to me though. Like, you know, every friendship I think has its value and its purpose. And like, for me, I always struggled with communication. Like, yeah. Not saying like in my relationships, but I just like, I'm like more shy and like quiet and soft spoken. And I wait for someone to come to me. And I think with you, I like always kind of watch. I'm like, oh my God, she talks about everything. Like there's no limits.
I have no boundaries.
You will talk about sex in the studio. And I'm like, girlfriend, like, okay, let me join this conversation though. I'm like, okay, like, but you make these uncomfortable subjects like normal, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's super important. So I think for me, I've just like kind of more, the more I talk to you, the more I'm like, okay, this is fine. Like, it's just words. And like, this is like 20 minutes ago, I'm saying how easy it is to talk about finances. Talking about other things to me is like a whole nother world. I'm like, what do I do with my hands?
I know. It's like so crazy to me because like, again, like I always say, like, I always look up to you in the sense of like talking about anything that has like anything to do with money. And like, again, it just stems back from my like upbringing. Mm-hmm. So like, you've just always had such like an eloquent way to like talk about it and really like bring it up confidently. But what I do like about you in the sense of communication is one, you learn from your partner, or you learn from like anybody in the sense of any advice that they give you, and you really take that to your partner and you really like learn. And I think then you're able to have these like 4-hour long conversations. It doesn't, for you, you're not out there and being like, this made me uncomfortable. Okay, that's it. I'm closing the door, which a lot of people do, right? Yes. They don't know how to like expand on that. And
wine.
So I guess I'll back it up to piggyback off like my openness. I think for me, I just learned that I don't have fucking time.
Yeah.
And I, as uncomfortable as some things are for me, and this is a lot of learning from my last relationship, I felt really, really like shut down because I would bring things up that were important to me and they were either not like, yes, reciprocated, not responded to. And I remember like telling you, dude, I would fucking come home crying all the mm-hmm. time. Like, even my roommate was like, dude, like, what is happening? Like, you're not like happy in X, Y, and Z. Like, even like a dude that she was dating, like within 2 weeks was like, all I've seen you do is like come home and cry about like this relationship where you're not being like communicated to. And so I've just kind of learned that I think from now on, I'm going to speak my mind and I'm going to talk about the things that are important to me. And if somebody's not willing to communicate back, that person's not right for me.
Yes,
and unfortunately, fortunately for me with like Brad, like he's so receptive in so many
ways.
We're
saying names now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, episode 10 release is going to be, what's happened since episode 2.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we've said, oh, yes.
He's not just B.
He's not just B anymore. Yeah. So he actually made the motherfucking cut. Yeah. We also disclosed that he told me he loved me. So.
Oh my God. I missed that part.
Did you? No. Well, it's not. It's going to be released.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, I think I listened to them.
Yeah. No, you do. Okay. No, it's the follow-up episode. Yeah. But yeah, so I think for us, he's like one of the first people that really like, I think, has been able to like keep up and like, yeah, really just say like, either one, call me on my shit and be like, you know what, like, this is like not like okay, or like, I really don't like agree with your thinking here, or just like really continually communicate with me and saying like, hey, how do you feel about this? Like, do you need to be left alone? Do you want to talk about this more? Do you want to X, Y, and Z? Do you want to put it in your butt? I don't know. Just
I love that you knew what my hand symbol just meant.
Yeah, but
I did the mouth.
She does the butthole mouth, and then she does like the finger and the whatever. But so I guess, so like, I think a lot more, and I a lot of times I understand that I'm an exception to the rule. I think that there's so much shit that is very, very difficult to talk about. And I think you're right. Like, I stopped having a filter. And I'm just like, if somebody doesn't like it, they can literally lick my ass.
You would like that, wouldn't you?
I would love that. But we just thought, I mean, I already talked about spitting in my mouth. Oh, so we're my fine. God. Yep. It's all downhill from here. Oh,
the very sound good. Effects, though.
This is ASMR. You're all welcome.
ASMR, hello.
Everyone is like shutting it down at this point.
They're like, goodbye. We're done.
Go ahead. Here. I'm going to just top you off at this point.
Okay.
But I do realize that like I am an exception to the rule in like a lot of ways. And so I think that like there are like a lot more people that probably resonate in your circle, right? They probably resonate in the sphere of, I don't know how to talk to my partner. I think that this situation is like really difficult for me to navigate. So like, what are, I guess like I'm looking for examples that you have had difficulty discussing. We don't have to throw names out there. You can just talk situational and just say it was like in sex, it was in about his job, it was about X, Y, and Z, and then how you like pivoted and had the open discussion about it.
So first of all, I think a lot of conversational issues happen from bad experiences.
Yeah.
Like either that or no experience. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was more of like negative experiences. Like I started, you know, in my prior relationship, I'd talk about everything and I'm just like, and then before you know it, it started turning into like these negative fights. Like everything I'd say would turn into like an argument or like, you're insane, like you're crazy. And I'm like, okay, like I'm not crazy for feeling this way, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that like really helped make someone like shut down and it makes it harder for future conversations. So I think just in general, like I think the hardest parts for me is like being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So whether that be like sex conversations or, you know, like even just like something bothering me, like sometimes I just hold it in and I'm like, oh my God, why am I doing this? Like, this is not okay. Like I hold a lot in sometimes and then I just like start crying. And they're like, what the hell is wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just like, the emotions. And like, I saw your post the other day. You're like, keep your emotions in check. And I was like, I don't know how. And like someone else commented, I was like, amen, sister. I'm like, I don't know how to not cry.
For those that are like wondering, I just did a reels on the Instagram page and it was just like easy ways to like have hard conversations.
Keep your emotions in check. Mm-hmm. Chelsea cannot do that.
But that's hard for a lot of people.
It is so hard. And I don't know what it is. Like the second I start talking about something uncomfortable, I get a knot in my throat and I'm like, I'm going to cry, but I don't want to cry. Like I don't even have to cry. I just want to cry. Mm-hmm. Or like if it's something that's like more personal or like defensive, you're like, I'm angry. Like, oh my God, like now I'm getting hot, you know, like there's just different emotions that are tied to things. And I think it's so hard to like control that for some people. And I'm being one of them. I'm like, or you just hold it in too long. And just because your past was a certain way or you didn't have experience in it doesn't mean you can't learn it now.
Yeah.
Like, and like you said, you just have to say it. And if that person's like, what the hell? And they run, bye, there's the door.
Totally. And I think a lot of people are just like so scared. They always think that the person that they're with is going to be their like perfect person for the rest of their life. And I was like, making situations work takes a lot of time. It takes effort. It takes doing the work. Yes. And doing the work includes having the hard conversations. It includes, if you need, going to therapy, like, or couples therapy, right? Like, it just really does take a lot of like effort, and it's not going to come effortlessly for a lot of people. Like, there are a lot of things, for example, like the finances thing, like, I really struggle with.
Yeah.
You know, the whole sharing capability, like I really do struggle with a lot of times. Independence is like my like number one trait. And so when I have to feel like somebody, if, for example, I talked about this in one episode, but like when somebody even pays for me at a dinner, like I almost feel uncomfortable because I'm like, it's almost like me not taking care of myself. And I don't know what that's like. Like I have always been uncomfortable with it, no matter how long I've been with somebody. Like I want it to happen, but then I get uncomfortable when it happens. And I'll never forget when I came home, my fucking dumbass, we went to a brewery. I put $100 down on a tab because I just couldn't take the fact that somebody wanted to pay $20 for two beers. And we come home and he literally throws it back at me and goes, I'm not taking your money. He's like, you need to just allow buy you a beer. And I'm like literally panicking about goddamn beer. Like I'm literally having this internal crisis about somebody getting me a beer because I'm that fucking crazy, right?
But like, you know what? I think we like for some reason I feel like I'm kind of on that same page where like if someone buys me something, I feel like guilt, like not guilty, but it's just this feeling of like, oh shit, like I could do this. Like I don't need you.
Yeah. But you almost give away a part of yourself. That's what it feels like.
Why?
I don't know. But again, I think it just comes from like childhood trauma. How dare you? I'm just kidding. Comes from the childhood trauma. Yeah. But so and that kind of like circles it back to saying when you're having these conversations and when you're talking to somebody and you get that like knot in your throat and you want to cry or you want to get mad, it's like your past relationship that's coming back and saying you're unworthy or you're crazy or you're this, right? Like, so like, but how do you unlearn that? Like, how have you taken the steps to like really move past all those feelings?
So for my, like for an example, my first like hard conversation with my relationship now, I broke down and I just cried. And then like, it wasn't like a sob. It was just like, I got choked up and like, we're listening to music and I'm just like,
oh god.
Meanwhile, I'm like texting Maria under the blanket. No, I'm just
which
it's probably not wrong. Yeah. No, I just got like emotional and I was like, I don't know, like, are we okay? And it was, you know, I think it's so easy to get into your own head, especially after having like hard conversations in the past and like feeling like you were not in the right to say something. And starting off something new, I think it's just so hard because you're like, I don't like fighting. I don't like arguing. Like, I don't want to like make this uncomfortable, but it's learning the right way to bring things up and when to bring it up. So if something's happening, you say it right away. Because if you wait like 5 hours later when it's been lingering, you're going to be bitter.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be like, oh, well, you said this and it pissed me off. And you're like, why didn't you say that 4 hours ago when I said the words?
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, just if you're having a hard time or you want to talk about like something that you want, like the worst you can do is say it and they say, what are you talking about? Like, no.
Yeah.
Or like the worst, what's the worst that can happen? Okay, then there's the door. Bye-bye. Like at least I said how I felt and I opened that door for communication. But the best that can happen is they listen and they understand and they're like, oh, thank you for saying that. Like, I didn't realize you were even feeling that way. I'm sorry I said it that way, or I'm sorry I wasn't giving you what you needed. Like, so many doors can be opened.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And I think that made me realize that, too. It's like, just because a past was a certain way doesn't mean the future is going to be a certain way. Or just because you've never experienced doesn't mean you can't start saying what's on your mind. It's like, I don't know. Just say it.
Yeah. And I don't think those like first few conversations, like if you're struggling with it with your partner now, right? Like the first few conversations are, they're never going to be comfortable.
No, none of it's comfortable.
But you have to get comfortable with the uncomfortable because you just, the
turn those, it into a joke.
Right. Something like that. Like, but those conversations, they're going to open up every single door. And I bring this back to, for example, I think I told you this, right? Like my current relationship now and I, like when we first started dating within the first like couple weeks, we talked about, Chelsea's just literally breaking everything. Thank you.
Sorry.
You're good. But one of my current relationships now, or I'm sorry, one of my current relationship now, him and I had this like very important discussion of sex and what, Chelsea, I can hear you pee. Are you kidding? Okay, I'm not even gonna cut this out because I think her peeing is like the most hilarious part of this entire fucking show. But anyway, so my partner and I now, within the first like week or two of dating, we had a discussion about sex and a big, it was not about butt sex. Chelsea, stop yelling at me from the bathroom because we all know what I enjoy. Okay, anyways, we talked about like sex and we talked about what we like, what we didn't like, what we wanted more of, like what we, again, like we're interested in, like just all these like little intricate pieces that I think a lot of people like really don't bring out to play. And so a big reason of where that really stemmed from was where the second night that we had actually slept together, it was like, we were drinking and I usually like can't come like if I drink, and we drink a lot. And so, yeah, and I think it's just like a lot more difficult. And so, I didn't come, but I like wanted to come, and I think I just like physically made it known that I was upset that I didn't come. But it's just me, and I have no filter, and I have to think that like, oh shit, somebody's gonna get not like offended by this, but it could be a problem. And so he like left, and apparently what I found out is when he left, he had literally told me, and this I found out this months later, he goes, yeah, I didn't think I was gonna talk to you again after that second night. He goes, I thought that you just had wanted nothing to do with me. And he, mind you, he like stayed over and everything was totally fine, but like I didn't get a text from him, and it was like 3 p.m. the next day, and I was like, oh, I should probably text him. And I'm used to him texting me by 10 a.m. And so anyways, we ended up having like that following week, a conversation all about sex, and he like looked at me and he goes, holy shit, like I want to have more conversations like this. He's like, I just feel like this made me feel like so close to you. And it was like so simple. It was like something that you would think that people talk about, but really they don't. And I'm not saying like, oh, we're complimenting each other about like all the shit that was great in bed. No, we're just saying, hey, I love when you do this. Like, I would love more of this. I like this in the bedroom. Like, I don't really like this. I did enjoy this. Like, dirty talk makes me feel whatever that may be. Like, right. Like, you just kind of like go full force, and then you sit there and you're like, fuck, like I kind of get my partner. Our sex changed dramatically after that. Like, it wasn't, like, the sex was already great, but it was almost, like, 180 because the partner was catering to you.
Yeah, and then, it's, like, so many people don't know what you need or what you like or what you want until you say it. So, it's, like, until you say it, that door is shut.
Yeah.
Like, you're just going to start getting bitter and bitter and bitter until it opens.
Yeah.
You know? It's, like, why not just talk about it, like, the second you start feeling, like, hey, this is not being met. Like, let's have this conversation. Versus, like, a year later, you're like, why don't you do this for me?
Yeah.
You know, and you're just like bitter and you're grumpy. And
And I think a lot of that comes with, Chelsea's pointing to herself, but I think a lot of that comes with like us getting older, right? I mean, like you may laugh now. Dude, laugh all you fucking want. But you think about, we think about like our relationships as they progress, right? And it's like the more partners we, and this is why, you know, I think that phrase comes to play, something along the lines of like, you never buy a Bentley without taking a test drive.
Yes.
And I think this is not only to having like sex with somebody, but this is really just having partners and really just kind of scoping the field and really understanding what you like and you don't like. And I bring this back to, and this has nothing to do with, you know, like the religious field of like not having sex before marriage. This just has the purpose of saying, you know what, like just again, communicate, find what you like, find what you don't like, really just like date. And again, it wasn't until I dated in that last year that I was like, fuck, like I get it. Like I see what I like. I see what I don't like. Whoa, this partner showed these kind of patterns. I really don't want to like go that route again.
It's insane.
Yeah.
I feel like if you, like, especially coming, because I know we both were in like a longer term relationship and then going into the dating world at the same time, we were both like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what is that? Like, you learned so much about people and about yourself. Like, you're like, oh my God, guys are nuts.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. But like, some guys are nuts.
Yeah. I mean, and like, this goes for women girls, too.
Women
yeah.
too. Absolutely. Some women are absolutely insane. Like, 100%. But it's just like, you find out the other person is just like, oh my God, what, why am I dating? Why am I even going to do this? Like, and then you start to like, feel like, oh, should I just go back to what I was at? Like, is that the safe zone?
Yeah. But that's what it is. It's like that safe zone is that comfort for so many people. And that's why a lot of people don't want to stay. Like, that's where, and I hate, like, this is going to be, like, a trigger topic, but where you talk about, like, domestic abuse. Like, that, it's, like, a comfort status for people because it's what they know. So, they're used to, like, the verbal or physical abuse, and it's hard to just leave, right? And it's no matter how many times you tell somebody, leave, this is bad, this is happening, they're like, but no, like, I love this person, or this is normal, or this is it. Like, you're consistently kind of back in these, like, with these, like, demoralizing actions, and again, that's your normality. Like, that's it. That's, like, what you know. But that's not normal, right? And that goes down to, like, certain communication patterns. Like, you and I both know. We're like, well, shit. Like,
it's not normal.
Like, those people, like, we don't hate the people that we dated. Like, they're good people.
Yes, exactly. It's a great person. Like, you learned something from that. But it's not, like, for you.
Yeah.
You know? And then you find what's for you. And you're like, holy shit. Like, I could talk about anything.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, bad, you know, it's not like a negative thing towards me. Like, I don't feel like insane every time I'm like, oh, okay, well, like, I didn't like this the way it was said, you know. And you're like, oh my God, I'm sorry. Like, but the best part is, like,
in my relationship now, I think things are so open that it's like, oh, sorry, like, I was multitasking when I talked to you. If I was delayed, I hope you didn't take that offensive. Like, I hope you're good. Like, it's just like the thought that goes behind everything is there, you know? You're like, oh my gosh, you hang up the phone and you're like, I wasn't all the way there. I'm like, I was so stressed out about work. I'm like, so sorry, like, if I wasn't fully paying attention, like, let me give you my attention now. You know, it's like, versus like what you could have had or like in the past, it's just crazy because you think that's like all that's out there and you're stuck in those ways. But I think that's why dating is so important, because you learn these different traits and you learn like what's for you, you know?
No, I absolutely agree too. Like, and kind of bringing it back to like that point of like that open communication, like, I'm not going to lie. And I think the last like 3 weeks, and you know this too, like, I've been hella fucking stressed about work, and there's just so much shit that's been happening. And I'm like, dude, like, I was like, I don't know if like, if this is sustainable for me, like this kind of stress, like I'm like eating, breathing, living work. Like, I'm stressed about it on the weekends, on the weeknights, like days at work. I literally, like, the past like Monday was, I cried for 4 or 5 hours at work. And I felt so fucking awful. Like, on the weekend, I sat there staring at my Slack, and I was like crying. And poor fucking Slack. Brad. I know. Poor fucking Brad. Like, we were supposed to leave somewhere, and I'm like, fuck, like, I can't leave. I gotta make these edits on this like deck that I'm making, X, Y, and Z. And he comes up to me. And then you
feel bad that they have to deal with it.
Yeah, and he's just so good. And he's like sitting there, and he's like literally holding my shoulders, and he's like, just breathe. He's like, we got it. He's like, don't even worry about going. He's like, we're gonna chill. I literally want to fucking cry.
They're gonna get along so well.
Yeah, oh, 100%, dude. He's gonna love them. But like, yeah, it's just like, you know, he's just like, just breathe. He's like, we'll come back early. He's like, we'll just get one beer. He's like, we'll come back early. You can finish your thing. He's like, I have a book here. Don't even worry about me. Like, and I like, literally my heart fucking was like in my ass. Cause I was like, what a good fucking person to just genuinely like get that you're just like stressing out. But he made a point to sit there and like acknowledge what I was feeling, really talked me through it.
That is the most important, is acknowledging what you're feeling. Yes. Not being like, oh my gosh, it's just work, calm down.
Or like, not saying anything, or just like staring at you and blinking a lot.
Like, are we gonna go?
Yeah.
You know, there's so many ways anyone could approach that situation, but to like listen and be like, I know you're stressed out, like, it's okay, like, do what you gotta do, like, I'm sitting right here next to you.
Yeah. And not only that, but like, he literally offered me a solution. He said, sit here, get it done. He's like, we don't have to go. He's like, but if anything, he's like, we can go for one beer. We're gonna come back early. We're gonna do it. He's like, don't even worry about me. And I was like, the fact that's like, because that's how I would have handled it, right?
Yeah, like acknowledge
and give me a solution. I always want a solution. Like, even when we're arguing, it's like, okay, like, let's talk about it and let's come to a conclusion. Let's come to a solution. Like, this, like, is there going to be like an output to this? Right? Like, it's like, I want to get comforted, but I also want to solve this.
Yeah.
Like, there's like these two avenues that really need to be like breached. Otherwise, it's like fucking pointless to even have somebody like try to talk me through it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't necessarily just like need useless comfort. Yeah. Right. Or like a physical body there. It's like, I just kind of like, I'm talking for somebody to listen and again, give me something like tangible,
like, help me
shit to do. Yeah. 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 Cause that's just hard. So like, but again, like, so I guess like with all these conversations that you've been able to have and like, you know, like open up about, is there something that you feel like, one, you want to work on, and two, give people to take away from like your experience like lately?
Yeah, I think like for me to work on for sure is just like getting more in the habit of talking what's on my mind, like saying whatever I feel. Like, obviously I'm not gonna say like, oh, I'm like, I don't know, I feel like there's like a limit to me, like, I'm not gonna say every single thing I'm feeling, but there's like the ones that are bothering me or the ones that are like affecting my mood, I'm gonna say. And I think just as advice to other people, just because a past or something else has shown you one way doesn't mean something else is going to show you the same way. Like, talk about it, see how you feel. Like, and again, use we, or like, I feel like I'm not, you know, receiving like this, or, you know, whatever it is. Like, don't say like, you aren't giving me this or you aren't doing this. Like, use the right words. I or we, or what can I do in order to obtain this?
Yep.
You know, like, sometimes it's like the conversations have to be started in the right track in order to be a team effort. So if you're just like, oh, you're not doing this, shut down. They're going to be like, oh, well, shit. Like, I don't care. Like, backup, like, here's the wall, yeah. you know, versus like, hey, I feel like I'm not obtaining X, Y, and Z. Can you help me like find a solution?
Yeah.
Or what can we do to make this work, you know? And then you're like, oh, goals are met. Like, we found a solution. We worked on this together versus just walls. Walls are the worst. Walls are the enemy.
Dude, they 100% are. And I think the whole, like, wall building, too, is, like, such, like, a... It's, like, definitely, like, a younger trait. And I think yeah. a lot of people carry that on into, like, their 30s and their 40s. And it can also be, like, very cultural. And I say that because, like, my family is very much like that. They have, like, walls for everything. They do- I was brought up and taught to never show your emotion. Mm-hmm. Never communicate. You always have to put on, like, a happy and, like okay front, right? You kind of handle your shit on your own. So I think that... I'm always like surprised, and I know my mom is really surprised by like how I've been able to like handle and communicate certain situations. And a big reason why my dad and I have a hard time communicating is what I always tell him. I go, it's not what you're telling me, it's how you're telling me.
It's how, right?
It's how your delivery comes across. Yes. And it's like he's had that problem his entire life, but he's 55, he's not going to change.
Yeah.
And again, there's a huge cultural barrier, and that's okay. But I want, what I want people to know is like, or understand is that
keep it light.
Yeah, keep it light, or like really recognize yourself, be aware. And if you're saying like, okay, I understand that I'm doing this, like maybe ask somebody for help or look it up. Like see how you yeah. can like genuinely start changing Google, those patterns. Baby. Dude, Google everything.
I woke up last night at 1 o'clock in the morning and I was like, you know what? Google. Let's Google some thoughts. Like,
yeah.
And it's just like, it's crazy. Like if you're like, oh, I'm feeling this way. Like what are the conversations I can have? Google it.
Mm-hmm.
There is like steps. Whatever you're going through, Google will help you. Or DM Maria.
Or
you slide in the DMs.
Dude, I
DM, by the way, means direct message.
I had a girl, well, yeah, I had like one of my friends in my DMs like randomly out of nowhere. She goes, yeah, so like I've been dating this dude for 3 weeks and I really want to have the exclusivity conversation. And I was like, yo, baby girl.
Oh,
like,
that is a whole conversation.
Do you want to talk about it?
Yes.
Let's bring it up. Okay, so I'll tell you what I told her. Because yes. I was like, okay, so she's been dating this guy for 3 weeks. He's, you know, in his like late 20s. She's like in her mid 20s. And she goes, yeah, after 3 weeks, we've hung out about 10 times. Like I'm really like into him. I want to be with just him, right? And she's mm-hmm. like, I don't know how to go about it. So my advice to her was like, baby girl, stop wasting your time and really bring it up. I was yeah. like, you got to just say, hey, like I'm not seeing two options, right? Saying, hey, I'm not seeing anybody else. Like was kind of wondering if like you're in the same boat. Or option two is saying like, hey, what do you want out of this? Like out of us hanging out. But yeah, the second definitely. Option leaves him with the ability to say whatever he wants and no closure for her. Right. So I kind of want to know like your take on
this. No, I 100% agree. I feel like when you get to that point where you're just like, okay, I'm feeling this certain way. I'm not dating anyone else. I want to exclusively see this person. Like say it. Just be like, okay. But again, like I'm all about keeping things light because yeah. it's something about keeping it like not so serious and you're just like, do you want to be exclusive? You know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just like so much power sometimes. So you're like, you know, like, hey, I'm not seeing anyone else. I don't know about you, but like, can we talk about that? You know,
yeah.
just like keep it casual, keep it cool. I'm not cool at all, guys.
You, dude, Chelsea.
I'm so awkward. You should see my hand motions right now. I am like robot motion. I'm like, hey.
She's literally doing.
There's lots of moving parts, baby.
She literally just did the sprinkler and the robot all at the same time, you guys.
I'm not cool.
When I thought that I was awkward notes. With my hand motions, like this bitch. She just moved on and progressed on the robot on the other
so
side.
Awkward.
Corey, I'm so sorry. If you're listening to this, I apologize.
He's just as awkward as me.
It's yeah, he is.
We both do that. We're in the restaurants. Well, the last 2 nights ago, we went to a fancy restaurant. I'm like, there's lots of moving parts. I'm like, we're doing the robot into the sprinkler.
I cannot. But you know what? You've got amazing friends. You're a great person. So it's all about it. So it's fine.
Anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, how do you, I want to know, have you ever like directly asked somebody like, hey, are you seeing anybody else? Or do you usually like to make it more of like a conversational piece?
So I once did that. And yeah. I think it was because, well, so fun story. Back in my, like single first dating days, I dated this guy and date one, he said, I love you.
Is this the one that I crashed?
No.
I crashed that one of Chelsea's dates. That was hilarious.
He called me bro.
Oh, yeah. No.
All the time. And he said, bro, go get me some coffee.
I mean.
It was so uncomfortable.
Dude. Brad says dude all the time, but okay, I say but like, dude all the time, too.
He was just like, he like fist, like punched my shoulder and was like, bruh, go get me some coffee. And I was like, shit, what am I? Like,
yeah, no.
We're gonna take a note from you, dog. It was just so awkward. And then he was like, we get home from a trip and he's like, I thought I was going to really not like you, but I kind of like you a little more. And I'm like, what?
Really? Yeah.
It was just such a weird, like,
yeah.
Well, you it was also a phase.
Just, yeah, I think you just weren't really into him, but you were forcing the situation.
Exactly. Yeah. I was 100% forcing it. And then the second, that one after that was an alcoholic. But date one, he said, I love you.
Shut the fuck up.
I love you.
Like, he, like, you met him and he told you he loved you.
So, first date, we go out to a bar and... Like, I was thinking, like, one or two drinks, go home, or get an appetizer and dinner and then go home, you know?
Yeah.
He got trashed. And I don't know why, like, something in your brain sometimes is just like, it's fine, everything's fine, we're gonna just have fun. Like, I'm dating, I'm single.
Well, also, when you're in, like a weird place in life, you just kind of allow strange situations to happen. Yeah, you're like, oh, you allow that. Yeah.
100%. So, I just kind of let that go, and I was like, whatever. And... we're driving home and he's like wasted and he's like, oh, I love you. I can't wait to marry you.
What?
I was like, oh.
Oh, God.
What? Said I love you on date number one. And I was like, okay. And then the next day I asked him and I was like, do you remember saying I love you? And he's like, well, yeah, I think, yeah. And I was like, okay, like, because you said that, like, I didn't know how you felt about that. Like, you know, we've only known each other for 24 hours, but how do you really feel?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And so I don't know why that didn't raise some flags. But I mean, I get it. Some people know right away and they're like, I say it. But like, this was like a trashed, like, should have read the signs type of situation. It wasn't like we made contact. We like looked at each other in the eyes. Like, it was love at first sight. No, this was like, I'm drunk. And I'm going to tell this girl I love her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just like a very uncomfortable, awful situation.
And so that night, I think it was like a week later, we went on a second date.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But I went on a second date with him.
Dude, you guys dated for like a couple months, didn't you?
We dated for like 8 weeks.
Yeah, like 2 months.
We went on a trip.
You did go on a trip together.
He was, okay, full disclosure, this guy was an alcoholic. He was... in his past, had the cops come to his house because of domestic violence. And we went on a trip. And he, like, got super trashed. And, again, like, every time we'd hang out, it was just alcohol. Yeah. And it wasn't like, hey, let's have a glass of wine or let's have a bottle of wine. Whatever it is. It was like, let's get fucked up.
Yeah.
And I was like, like, I don't know. Like, but at the same time, I was like, I'm going through a phase. Like, this is fun. Like, let's have fun. Mm-hmm. But.
It's like the last dude I dated.
Dude, I am a homebody.
You are.
You all know this.
Dude,
all
Chelsea, Chelsea literally not only ghosts people, but we'll be like, I'll never forget pre-COVID. This is a little side tangent. We were all like, oh yeah, we just had a couple drinks for like a Thanksgiving thing or something like that. And then we were like, oh yeah, it's 9 p.m., 8 p.m., like 8 p.m., it was early. We go, yeah, we're all going to just go to the bar, grab a drink. Chelsea drives one of our friends to the bar. It's like 8:30 p.m., drops him off and goes, yeah, I'm not going in.
The whole way there, first of all, let me go back a little bit because I still feel guilty to this day. But
as she should.
We left this party. Okay, right before this, this was in January. I had COVID. I swear to God, I had COVID that time.
Bitch. Well, okay,
I was so sick the like 2 weeks before that. And I
this
just
is not
been
this
going,
January, by the way.
No,
this
no,
is
no.
Like
January
2019.
No, 2020.
Are you sure?
It's yes, it was before, 2020. It was before COVID, everything was happened.
Thing. Yeah.
It was in January because we just did our Christmas party.
Yeah.
And I had just gotten over like being sick, but I was fine. I was just exhausted. I was out for like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Here she goes with the excuses. You guys.
It's excuses always, okay? I like my bed.
Yeah, it's true.
But anyways, we were all like, okay, let's go to this Newport bar. We're driving there. I have my friend in the car and I'm like, okay, we're going to order two drinks, one each. We're going to have our drink. We're going to enjoy maybe an hour and then I'll drop you off at home because we live close to each other. So We made this plan the whole way there.
Close to each other is Anaheim, so it's not close to anybody else.
No, we were in Newport. So I was like, we'll drive home together because we live in the same city, like an hour away. And so I pull up and I was like, hey, so you got to get out of the car. I'm not going. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, I'm going home. Bye.
Dude. And this is like a Chelsea regular. Like, this is, she just like, will go. She will leave. Irish goodbye.
Brittany gets so mad at me all the time because she'll be like, well, I'll text her on a Sunday. And I'm like, hey, what do you think about the ranch this Thursday? And she's like, down. I'll meet you there at 9. She'll bring clothes to spin, like, get ready. And then at like 8:30, she'll text me and I'm like, good night. Or like no response, and I'm just like, good night, guys.
Yeah, this is like a typical Chelsea. I'm sorry.
Like, we all expect it. Full disclosure, you don't know if I'm going until I'm there. Like, that's just who I am.
We've started to assume you're not going. Yeah. Yeah. Just,
dude, it's like that one time where Kaylee was like, it was like a birthday thing. She's like, yeah, I'm totally going. I'm totally going. She got out of the shower. She was in like a towel and like a headdress. She like fell asleep for 4 hours. She just like got out of her bed. But that is like you naturally all the time.
All the time.
All the fucking time.
Where were we going? Oh, yeah.
We went nowhere this. But we're going to backtrack. We're going to backtrack. So
he, oh, yes. So this ex, this prior guy I dated. He, okay, I was just giving you the backstory of who I am. Okay. Yeah. I go to bed at 7 p.m. and yes. I lay there and I'm like, this is fun. So he stayed up until 6 a.m. at bars. So we would go out and he's like, oh, I know the bar owner. Like, let's stay out until 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. And then I'd teach class at like 10 a.m. and I'm like dead. And I got so, I remember getting so sick all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, we only dated for a few weeks, but it was just like, oh my God, this is not the person for me. Like, yeah. I knew from date one, but I was just like, like, okay, like, let's keep talking. Maybe I could change the ways.
But sometimes you see like a singular trait, and in that singular trait is the only thing that you hang on to, even when you're like, you know, like a season pass holder to red flags. You just like, yeah, you're just like going along for the ride, but you're hanging on to this one positive thing that doesn't lead you to final destination, you know?
It just keeps going in a loop.
No, for sure. But I mean, we've all been there. Like, remember, like, again, the last person I dated, like, literally, I got sat down by like everybody who was like, yo, he fucking sucks. And y'all, okay, dude.
I think, like, I felt so bad.
For what?
Because I said that.
You, but you were, like, the most, I think, Britt never said anything to me. I knew how she felt. You were just kind of like, hey, this is kind of what happened. This is how we felt, but we're, like, stoked for you. Yo, Lisa and I went some weird shit because, like, she was like, dude, she's like, fuck
Lisa's
this
guy. Lisa's got an opinion.
Lisa's got a goddamn opinion, which I respect her for. I totally respect her for. Yeah, like, and it's totally fine, but I was like, my whole take on it was like, you know, like, I'm kind of going through something and I kind of just, I almost need to be with somebody that's, like, essentially, like, quote unquote, like, nice to me. However, like, this is somebody who's, like, who's, like, essentially selling Adderall on the side, who's got a drug past, who is, like, same thing. He was, like, drinking, but every time we'd drink, he'd have to get, like, a fucking Four Local because he wants to just get drunk. Wait. Did I not tell you this?
Yeah. Yes, you did.
Yeah, yeah, right? It's, like, shit like that. And it's, like, and then it was, like, the whole porn addiction thing. And then I was, like, dude, like, I can't, I'm, like, you know, and it was, like, at one point, it was, like, we ended things, then we talked for, like, 2 more days, and I texted him again. I was, like, yeah, I can't do this. I just can't. And he was, again, he was a very nice person. Super nice person. I had the best first date that I've ever been on to this day was with him.
I don't know what it is, but sometimes the red flags, when you ignore them, it's almost like it's good. And there's like that one thing that you're holding on to. Like, so for the guy I was telling you guys about, like every single time I'd see him, he'd have this beautiful bouquet of flowers and like he'd cook. Oh, now you're going to do it. Okay. She's going to the bathroom, guys. Like now she's going to leave. But yeah, like he'd have this beautiful bouquet of flowers, like he'd go all out, he'd like, you know, buy me a gift or like something like just sweet and thoughtful. And so it like helps to ignore those like bad qualities that this person has, but at the same time it makes you feel so loved and you're like, what the hell is wrong with me? Like I can't see these red flags, but yeah, I mean, then you start to realize when you, so fun fact, I brought up one argument and I was like, hey, so I didn't like the way you talked to me because it was very aggressive and you called me a bitch. And you know what he said? He said, well, I bought you flowers.
Shut the fuck up.
I bought you flowers.
He held that over your head.
He held it over my head like it was a freaking prize. Like he knew he was going to screw up all the time. So he every single time we saw each other, he bought me something. And then I started to realize, I was like, oh my God, this guy uses this as his excuse out. And then I find out it's a small world. Someone knows someone, and he was abusive in his past relationship. And then we go on a trip, and he lifts a hand when he's drunk and tries to hit me.
You never told me this.
Yes. We were in the hotel room after a concert, and he went.
Wait, you're right. I actually found out about this
through our friend.
Our friend. Yes. And she's like, dude, she was going through this, and I think you told me about this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, friends, for telling me.
Yeah. I cannot fucking believe. So...
But yeah, it's so funny how some people, like some guys or girls, use things as kind of their out. Like, okay, I'm going to do these X, Y, and Z, so I got to make up for it in this, you know? And then you start to realize those traits and you're like, wait.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're like, these are so nice. I love it.
Yeah, we like hang on to those. And I think like even for me, like there were all these red flags, but I think I kind of hung on to this whole like first date scenario where I feel like we always kind of like did things together and we had like, we always had like a fun time and like I learned a bunch of like random shit. But then I started to realize, I'm like, you have everybody else fit your mold. You like your routine and you like to just have somebody put into that. But when you're new in it, you don't see all of that, right? No. You're just like, and I only find this out
like from, they like, love me.
Yeah. But I was like, right. And I start finding this out from like other people he's dated or people that he's now dating. And I'm like, which is fine, or like, but
he's a psychopath killer,
right? Or like little things like that. Well, again, right, like good person, nice person, just not for me. Weird red flags that I wasn't down with, but like I allowed them because again I was going through it. But what are you doing? Oh yeah. And that, wait
the watch.
Oh yeah. Or gifts, little gifts people get you. That's a thing. I thought you were talking about the whole big penis thing.
Trunks.
Well, she's like putting her like arm out, and I was like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Does that mean elephant penis?" Is like, what are we talking about, dude? That's another thing, dude.
My mom wants to listen to this, okay? Oh, just kidding. Sorry, mom.
Sorry. Well, mom, this is a dating podcast, but I'm gonna say, good sex. That's a big one, dude. That's a huge one that keeps people in relationships. It's all about the ride. Hey, which ride? Your ride or my ride? I'm just kidding.
delete
skirt.
Yes, I agree. It's a
my point is like for a lot of people like stay in it. Again, that's a red flag too, right? Like just good sex if that's the only thing they're holding over you.
Yeah.
Okay,
so no, I'm not even going to that, but yes,
so you don't have to. Yeah,
like I think some people hold on to that so much.
Yeah.
And I know like close friends who have been like, oh well, like, yeah, they do X, Y, and Z, but the sex is great. And I'm like, okay, well, is the sex going to happen when you're pregnant or you're having kids or, you know, when you're stressed out and you have all these financial debates? Like, are you going to have sex? Probably not.
Yeah.
You
maybe,
know?
Girl, the dick game gets lazy later on.
It gets so lazy.
I mean, trust me, sometimes but a girl likes to lay on her back and do nothing.
You know what? I just lay here.
Yeah, it's fine. It's totally fine. We're all
if
fine.
You ain't got a dick game, I ain't got a B game. So.
Yeah, you tell them who's boss. It's just like, clam up. We're unwell.
We are so unwell.
I guess, but go on.
No.
No, what were we going to say?
I don't know.
She's just rambling. She's just going.
I'm a rambler.
No, that's totally fine. I was going to bring it back to the exclusivity thing because I don't know how we got it.
Okay.
Yes.
So, exclusivity. Go. Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's super important to just be upfront and be like, hey, so I'm feeling like we should talk about this because I'm not dating anyone. And if you are, I'd like to know upfront just so I could set my expectations. Like,
I like that.
And it's more of just a conversation instead of just like putting so much pressure. I think the pressure is what makes people shut down. If you're like, I only want to date you.
Yeah.
You know, or like, I don't know. It's all about the way you present it. So it's like, hey, like I'm feeling like you're the only person I want to see right now. I don't know how you feel. Can we have this discussion? Or, you know, if this isn't how you feel, can we come to an agreement? It's like, okay, we're gonna see other people, or like, let's have an open discussion about it.
Yeah.
With me personally, like my current relationship,
it was, well, first of all, I'm the one that said I love you first. Just got to put that out there.
You did. I'll never forget. Yes. She told us. She was like, I think in a drunken state. She's like, I'm going to tell him tonight.
I called everyone. I literally, first I called both of, I called Brittany and Maria like 2 weeks before. And I was like, I'm going to tell him tonight. And I was like, I got to say it. And I was already home. And I was like, I just feel it.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's 3 weeks too soon. Here I am talking shit about the guy who.
Well, you know, but the thing is, when you know, you know.
Yes. And so I was like, okay, like, I want to make sure, like, we were going on a family trip. So I was like, okay, I'll wait a little longer. But then right before the family, our first trip together, he was like, so we're going to go, you know, and meet my family and, like, go on a trip with him. So I want to be able to introduce you as my girlfriend. Like, how do you feel about that? And I was like, down. Like, mm-hmm. I am right there with you. I want to say I love you already.
Yep.
You know? So I was just like, I obviously played it cool. Only put one card out. I was like, yeah, that's fine. Like, yeah, cool.
Psychopath. Okay, we like it.
You got to try, you know?
You got to do what you got
to
do.
We both tried to play it cool, but then, like, the next day, we're like, by the way, like, here's all my cards.
Yeah.
Like, I can't play cool.
But, like, with certain people, you just know that it's, like, totally they're going to love you for whoever you are.
Exactly. And I think that's, like, where we're at. We're just like, this is my best friend. So I'm like,
yeah.
I love you. Oh. But so, yeah, no, it's just, like, it was that conversation. I just remember so specifically. He was like, I want to introduce you as my girlfriend and not just the girl I'm dating. And I was like, yes!
I love that. Okay.
Versus, like, so many other people, like, I don't know. It's just, like, it's such a hard conversation to have. So it's, like, keep it, like...
Yeah.
Just be, like, keep it light, keep it cute. Be, like, you know what? Like, I don't want to date anyone else. How do you feel about this?
Yes.
Okay, if they say, well, I want to fuck other people, then be, like, clearly, we're not both in love.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or if they tell you they're not ready, like, yeah. I think that it can be situational, but really, really yes. read the room if that's the case.
And there's so many situations where you're just like, I just want to have sex. Like, yeah. Okay.
And that's fine.
Be a friend. Yes, that's totally yeah. fine. Just be like, hey, by the way, this is all I'm looking for. How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We're on the same page. If not, like, okay, so let's take a step back, figure out what we want. Like, yeah. if we agree on this, you know, you just have to have those awkward discussions, and you yeah. may do the robot and, like,
oh god, she's couple doing, other you guys, she's doing it again, she just sprinkled and roboted me at the same time.
But if your arms
are you just doing the chicken wing, oh my god. You guys, I wish I honestly wish I filmed these just so everybody can see how ridiculous
it's so is. Awkward
she is, she's worse than I am. Oh no, oh god, she's going, she's gone, she's got, we lost her, fam, we lost her.
But have the talk. No matter how uncomfortable, keep it light. Throw in a dad joke if you gotta. Yeah. You know.
Oh, we're queens of dad jokes.
Dad jokes, puns, like, whatever yeah. it's gotta be. Just, like, keep it fun and alive, because at the end of the day, it's like, life's too short to be too serious.
I fucking love that. It's true. It's true. Dude, I think that that is, like, literally the most perfect note to just cheers this on. Dude, let's close this bad boy out. I love you, little mama. Cheers.
I love you.
Let's sip it down. Mm. Mm. All right. Can't wait to talk finances.
Save that money.